Our pastor is here tonight, but Brother Ed is coming to speak in his place tonight. So, Brother Ed, we'll turn everything over to you right now.
Thank you, Brother. Blessing to be with you here tonight. I wish the rest could be here. But we definitely don't want a bunch of sick people walking around now, do we? Time to empty it out. I want to open your Bibles this evening to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I want to share a message that God laid upon my heart, and I may not take a long time. I know when I get on a clock, it makes me nervous. But it is what it is. So we'll enjoy it and have a good time tonight. I want to share some things with you. Title there, Steadfastly Serving with Eternity in View. Steadfastly serving with eternity in view. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you for the opportunity to open your word, to study tonight, and to allow your Holy Spirit to penetrate our hearts, to speak to our hearts, and Lord, to mold us and make us and shape us into children of God that would bring honor and glory to you. Please, Lord, speak to us tonight. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. When the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, there are so many different themes that come up in the book of Corinthians. Paul, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, dealt with many, many things to the Corinthian church. All throughout 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, there are different moments when he praises them for what they're doing and their obedience to God. And then other moments, another verse forward before, he finds himself needing to reprimand them, to speak harshly in ways because of their lack of being faithful, their lack of steadfastness, their lack of serving with eternity in view. There were so many things about the Corinthian church, the Corinthian people that just had to be touched upon and dealt with. And the Apostle Paul seemed to be very clearly that he knew under the leadership of the Holy Spirit in writing the Word of God, but being to how to deal with the Corinthian people, how to bring them back to and to see them mature in a way that would bring them to walk with God. With this theme, with this thought in their minds and their hearts of steadfastly serving with eternity in view. Not just for the moment, not just for a praise or somebody to say, oh, that was really good, I enjoyed that, or whatever it might have been. But no, it's the idea that he was trying to push and bring the Corinthian church to a maturity, to where they would walk, truly walk with God with all their heart. Walk with God with eternity in view and a steadfast will to be obedient to God. And so as we look at this evening, I want us to see, number one, he said steadfastly firm. Steadfastly firm. When we think about verse 58, and he says, therefore, my beloved brethren. These are the brethren. These aren't just anybody. He's talking to brethren, to people who have been saved, who know Christ as their Savior. And he speaks to him, he says, be ye, what? Steadfast. Steadfast. When he talks about steadfastly, it brings to mind the idea of being firm. Unmovable. I'm here, I've got something to do that's the Lord's work, and we have to be steadfastly firm, unmovable. Press on. We have to press on and continue on. We can't quit. There are many, many moments in the lives of Christians when we are tempted to quit. But we can't quit. We have to keep going. We have to keep moving forward, unmovable, firm in the Lord. Don't quit. Unmovable in your steadfastness. And so we start off with that of the steadfastness, and then the idea of being unmovable. Number two, steadfastly serving. We need to be serving. We need to serve our Lord. We need to serve one another. We need to serve our church. And so we look at this and we see, okay, Paul trying to motivate us to be steadfast, be firm, unmovable in what we believe and what we do, steadfastly serving. Now this brings us to that point of now we're involved, active. We need to stay active. We need to stay involved in our church and with our family. And so we see that there's the need to serving steadfastly. Steadfastly serving. And I find letter A there, with all your heart. We need to learn to serve with all our heart. In Colossians chapter 3, and verse 23, the Word of God says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." And not unto men. You know, it's too easy sometimes to want to please men, please people, preach what they want to hear, do whatever they want so there's no riff, so there's no nothing, you know, people going against the grain and context. And no, just do it. Just preach what they want to hear. Make them feel good. There's too many churches that have fallen into that. But we need to be steadfastly with all our heart as to the Lord to serve. And so as we serve and we do it from our heart, we do it heartily as to the Lord, it's not for men, it's for the Lord. It's for Him. We look at letter B, be motivated to please Him. We need to be motivated to please the Lord. There are a lot of people, what we call men pleasers, and the scriptures talk about those. But that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for somebody who wants to please the Lord. Everything we do in our lives, every time we walk through those doors to come to church, we need to be seeking God's word and seeking how I can please Him. Be motivated to please Him. Steadfastly serving Him by pleasing Him. How? Obedience. Obedience to His word. We need to learn to have a reason to serve, not just to please, but to serve. So as we have a reason to serve, Luke chapter 17 takes me to this thought. Luke chapter 17, verse 10, he says, "So likewise ye, when ye have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." You know, Luke was talking here, and the Lord Jesus, and the conversations go back, and we see so many times where just these little parables, these little notes and little stories that Jesus taught His disciples, and they would often come to Him afterwards, after the men pleasers were gone, and they would ask Him, "What did you mean by this? Teach us this." And they had a desire, they had a hunger, they wanted to please Him, but they had a reason to serve. When God called them, when Jesus called them from whatever they were doing in life and said, "Follow me," it was because He wanted them to come to that point and be ready to serve. Be ready to serve. And God is waiting for us to learn to serve the Lord. But He says, if we think that we're going to get special treatment because we came in, we've done this, we've been out working all day and everything else, He said, remember, we've done what we were supposed to do. It was our duty. It is our duty to do this. And we are unprofitable servants. So we have a reason to serve. We have a reason to look for how I can serve and be successful in serving and serve the Lord in a manner and way that pleases Him, that brings growth in our lives. Then we find that We need to pay attention and understand the eternal souls of men. The eternal souls of men. Hell is real. Hell is eternal. Hell is painful. I just have noted familiar verses from Luke chapter 16. We all know the story of Lazarus and the rich man. And that rich man learned very quickly, hell is real. And not only is hell real, and that was one of the first things that came from his mouth, but then he begged for them to send Lazarus to go and speak to his brothers so they didn't have to end up in eternal hell. So not as hell real, only is hell real, and not only is it eternal, but it is painful. And if we were to go today and we were to ask that rich man, does he still feel the same way? He's still there. And he will be for eternity. And because of that, we need to be steadfastly serving and witnessing to those eternal souls that are still without Christ. We must serve. We must learn and remember that we have a reason to serve, and it's because of the eternal position that people have. Without Christ, they will end up in this place called hell. They will be there. And we need to be ready and prepared and seeking to rescue them and serving the Lord in that way. So how else do we serve the Lord? The eternal rewards in heaven. They can be a motivation sometimes. We think about it. You look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. In 1 John 2, verse 17. And the word passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, it doesn't talk a whole lot about rewards right here, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it does. When we appear before the judgment seat of Christ, we will be receiving our rewards. You see, there comes a point when we have to realize the eternal rewards in heaven are rewards that are given by God that we give back to Him. Eternal rewards that make a difference. And at the same time, we do it because we love Him. We serve God because of the love that we have for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that, not just the rewards, but then we see the eternal Son of God. The eternal Son of God. In Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12, and verse 2, is looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, as we look at this, the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ himself, he says, looking unto Jesus, and I like these next few words, the author and finisher of our faith. We have nothing to worry about. If we know Christ as our personal Savior, we serve the eternal Son of God. It states in that verse too, looking unto Jesus, the author. Folks, he wrote the book. And we know him. I know the author of the book I hold. And what a privilege it is that we have to have a copy of the book that he wrote. He wrote the book, and I have a relationship with him. He's the author. He knows it all. He knows everything that has happened. He knows everything that is going to happen because he wrote the book about it. And he says, and finisher. He is not only the author, he is the finisher of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him. You realize we need to be joyful for what Christ has done for us. What the Son of God has done for us and continues to do. Day by day by day in our lives, he seeks to change us and mold us and make us into what he wants us to be. And so he talks about this author and the finisher of our faith. He says, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. He endured the cross for you and for me. And what a privilege it is that he has done that for us and then allows us to serve him. Allows us to be a part of his story. And he says, in the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. He says, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is there. And he awaits us. And he knows exactly when he's coming back. Our Heavenly Father knows exactly what he is doing. And we look at the news today, yesterday, what we know is things are happening. Could it be our time? Could it be coming soon? Yes, it could. We don't know when. We are to be faithful, steadfastly serving with eternity in view. Trust me, how many of us are nervous about what we see happening on the news? Anybody? A little bit? Well, we know the author and we know the finisher. So really, we don't have to be. There's no need to be worried and all worked up and all this stuff happening because he knows what he's doing. He's got it all planned out. But because of what we've seen, we need to be seeking rewards, yes, our rewards that we could win people with an eternal soul to the Lord. That would please him. And that's where we need to be. We need to be witnessing for the Lord. Keep your eyes on him, on Christ. And remember Peter. Remember Peter when Jesus came walking on the water? And he comes closer, all afraid, and they see him thinking he was a ghost at first. And then Peter said, well, Lord, if it's you, if? And I heard a pastor once, he said, well, you know, at least Peter stood up and had a little bit of faith to ask if he could come to the water, walking on the water to Jesus. And I got thinking about that. And I've thought about it from time to time as I read this passage, and each time I go through my Bible. But I thought about what they said, and you know, I don't know that it was so much Peter's faith, but just the Lord showing Peter that he didn't have the faith. Letting Peter see what he was still lacking. I think at least the others in the boat were honest. I can't. And Peter tried, yes, he did, he tried. But it just, in some ways, I personally find a little humorous because Jesus knew he wasn't going to make it. Jesus knew what, before he came rowing up or walking across the water to the boat as they were rowing and fighting against the waves and everything, he knew. He knew exactly what Peter was about to say, exactly what Peter would do, and he knew that he would sink. But he allowed him to do it. He allowed him to learn. Peter was one that's the way he was. He was, God, and I don't remember the word for it, spontaneous. He was so spontaneous, but he made so many mistakes. And the Lord still had patience and still loved him. I often pray every morning. I pray and I tell the Lord, Lord, please, don't let me end up with the need to be sifted. Peter had to be sifted. And he made it through there. The Lord knew he would make it. But we need to learn to take our eyes off the circumstances, off the storms and the trials and the afflictions. And that's what Peter didn't do at first, or should I say at first he did, but rapidly he lost view of Jesus and put his eyes on the storm, on the trial, on the afflictions. Jesus had sent them in the boat. They were to go and cross the sea and meet, be there on the other side. And Jesus came and rescued them. So as we look at eternity in view, one thing we need to do is realize that, what is our perspective? What is our perspective? Do we see obstacles or opportunities? And we need to be seeking and seeing opportunities. Don't look at the obstacles. The obstacles are going to come. The storms are going to come. The threats will come. And that brings me to a story that I really enjoy. In the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 17. And you remember Elisha and his servant. And his servant is concerned and had gone out early in the morning to see that knew the enemy was coming, that had been marching that direction. And he knew the army was coming. He didn't know how bad it was going to be, but he went through and went out to spy what was going on. And there were chariots of the Assyrian army and the warriors that were come, and they had threatened and they were going to wipe everybody out, kill them all. And Elisha just sits there, and I don't know where he was sitting. I just kind of get this picture in my mind. Elisha was up there sitting on the wall and just watching out, just calmly. Not like he didn't have a worry in the world. And yet here comes this humongous army that's going to wipe them out. And Elisha prayed. And he said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around about Elisha. I think, wow, now I would like to have been there for that. What a thrill to be able to think and see that. You know, I wonder, you think we're going to get instant replay when we get to heaven? I would love to see that. And his servant learned something. And we need to do something similar to what he did. Keep looking in the right decision. Keep looking in the right decision. Direction. Keep looking in the right direction. Keep working for the Lord. In the work of our Lord. Being steadfast. Being faithful. Being unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And if our work is in the Lord, then we're going to realize something and we're going to learn something. It's His work. It's not mine. It's His work. It's not ours. But what we need to learn is being steadfast, steadfastly serving with eternity in view. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the truths that we have seen here. And Lord, how the Apostle Paul has encouraged us to be faithful servants. And Lord, instead of looking at obstacles, we need to look at opportunities. To be steadfastly serving with eternity in view. Father, please be honored and glorified. Use Your word in our hearts. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.